I definitely think it's overhyped on social media. We have no clinical studies that suggest that soy or maca cause any acne. If anything, they are beneficial to your gut health, but there is no correlation that says if you eat X amount of soy, X amount of maca, that it's going to give you acne. So I always say everything in moderation is my go-to, but there are no clinical studies that show that.
Welcome back to Skinthusiast, the podcast. Today's guest is an incredible mind in the dermatology world. We have Dr. Nana Buachi today, who's a board-certified dermatologist with over 15 years' experience. She specializes in acne and melanated skin concerns, but what is of most interest to me is her coining the term lifestyle dermatology. So she really approaches all of her patients a little bit differently than we're used to seeing in dermatology. She asks them about what they're eating, how they're exercising, how they're sleeping, and we talk a little bit about all of that today, how we can really optimize our lifestyle for skin health, whether we're dealing with something like acne or another skin condition, or we're just wanting to really optimize our skin health and our overall wellness. Today's episode is a really good one. You guys are going to want to take notes. And without further ado, here's Dr. Nana Buachi. So I like to ask all my guests from the start, what is your first skincare memory?
It's so interesting. With my skincare memory, I remember going to the dermatologist, my mom. She had really bad acne in her 30s. And so that was my first foray to dermatology, watching the dermatologist interact with her, learning about acne at that time. Luckily, when I was a teenager, I didn't have a major acne issue, but I just loved the way the dermatologist handled my mom's care, thought was very thoughtful about her medications and so forth. So that was my first real like skincare memory.
Isn't it amazing how those early interactions really shape the way that we go on through our career? And I know that you talk a lot about your interest in lifestyle dermatology and just being, like you said, really intentional with the plan that you give your patients. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what is lifestyle dermatology for the audience who may not know.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Lifestyle dermatology is a term that I coined because lifestyle really impacts your skin health. I was just on a phone call because I see patients virtually in multiple states. So I was seeing a patient based in California, and she really just wanted a holistic management for her eczema. So we talk about sleep and how sleep impacts your eczema, how nutrition impacts your eczema, how certain skincare products are more beneficial to you for your eczema. So I love to educate my patients about how lifestyle impacts them specifically. So we come up with these customized plans. And everyone's really, really grateful because these are not just for your skin health, but just for your overall health.
And what are some things that you think are impacting our skin that maybe we're not thinking about? Maybe for the average person who has relatively healthy skin, the impacts that their lifestyle has, or then maybe some other conditions that you commonly see like acne and eczema. What are some red flags that you usually see with lifestyle?
Yeah, for sure. Like that's stress. We're all stressed. Like we don't even realize it. Some people are like, I'm not stressed, but really the world is a stressful place. And with stress, whether it's low-lying stress or high stress, it all impacts your gut health, it impacts your skin health, it impacts your mindset. So that's one thing that I always like to think about, being more mindful and being more attuned and how to manage stress, whether it's just going for a walk or just doing breath work, maybe even prayer can help manage stress. And once you manage your stress levels, certain things just kind of fall into place. Your skin is just like in a happier place there. So that's one that everyone goes through. Definitely ultraviolet light. You know, as dermatologists, we're always talking about how the sun aggravates your skin health and why sunscreen and being sun smart are just so important. So those are some examples there of how you can improve your skin health.
So I've seen you post some content about timing your skincare routine. Speaking of lifestyle, we know that our sleep has an impact. So first, can you tell us a little bit about how our sleep impacts our skin and then also how we can time our skincare routine with our sleep and so on?
Yes. So the skin has like its own circadian rhythm. So it has its own clock and at night, especially, your blood vessels are open. So that is like the best time to go ahead and use active ingredients if you're on certain medications like topical steroids, for instance, for certain inflammatory conditions like psoriasis or eczema. That's a great time to apply it because those medications, those actives, will be able to be absorbed better into your skin, and therefore you will see some improvement. In addition to that, just moisturizing. You lose water through your skin all day long, so the best time to moisturize is at night. As a dermatologist, I always recommend moisturizing twice a day, sometimes multiple days, multiple times a day, depending on the skin condition, but twice a day, but especially at night, is very important.
And what do you say to some people who, there's kind of this myth going around social media that moisturizer is bad for your skin because it makes your skin lazy and it doesn't operate in the way that it normally would. I don't know if you've heard this, but I get this question all the time and I think it's kind of silly, but I'd love to hear how you would approach that answer.
I would say that is definitely a myth. You know, because we are basically your skin where we're losing water. There's something called transepidermal water loss. We're losing water constantly. So the purpose of a moisturizer is just to put like a barrier on top of your barrier so that way we can seal some of that water in to keep our skin hydrated. So now obviously there's different types of moisturizers. You have occlusive moisturizers, emollients. So I think it's important to moisturize and you just have to find the right moisturizer for you just because everyone has different skin types, whether you're oily versus you're dry. There's so many moisturizers now on the market, you could find one for you.
Yeah, there really is. Do you have any general rule of thumbs, let's say maybe for oily skin versus dry skin types of moisturizer that you might recommend?
I usually recommend for oily skin patients go with like a lighter moisturizer. So you're really going more with a lotion. Mm-hmm. And those who tend to have dry skin, we're going with a cream. And so you're mm-hmm. looking for those that are just more enriched with a lot of oils and so forth. Good oils. I'm a fan of like jojoba oil, for instance. That really works nicely on the skin.
Yeah, I think there is a common misconception that when you say moisturizer, or let's say you say lotion or cream, that they're the same thing. But we know actually those are two different vehicles, right? And it's important to pick one versus the other. A general rule of thumb is creams will usually come in pots and lotions are usually in pumps or squeeze bottles. But I think even that is a little bit blurred now because there's just so much innovation in cosmetic packaging and things like that. But I think that's a really nice rule of thumb when you're shopping like oily skin versus dry skin. I love, lighter moisturizers for oily skin patients who may not believe.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. You're right, that oily skin patients, they just don't want any moisturizer because they feel like if you put in a moisturizer on oily skin, they're going to get more acne. Their skin is not going to breathe. But everybody can use a moisturizer. And as you just stated, lotions tend to be lighter. And it's also a seasonality, to lotions and creams as well. You know, in the spring, summer, we definitely recommend more of a lotion. Whereas in the winter, we recommend a cream, which comes in a pot. So perfect.
I think that's a really good point that you just made, too. Our skin type does kind of adjust with the seasons and also with travel, right? Sometimes when you're traveling to a more dry, arid environment versus a humid environment, it's okay to adjust your skincare based on the environment that you're in or the season you're in. It doesn't mean just because you're a dry type, you always have to use the same moisturizer, same cleansers, even all of that. You can really adjust to what your skin needs.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I love that you brought that up. So speaking of moisture, do you believe that hydrating from the inside, this is another hot topic on social media, do you believe that drinking enough water is enough to make sure that your skin's hydrated, or do you think it makes an impact at all?
I think definitely you need to, our blood is made out of water. I always tell my patients, mm-hmm. like, your blood is not made out of Coke or juice, so stop that. And just drink tons of water. So definitely making sure you get enough water throughout the day, but also applying really good ingredients onto your skin just to make, because your barrier is constantly being stressed. So why not be very intentional about the ingredients that you're putting on your skin, just like you're being intentional about the ingredients that you're ingesting every day. You know, I always try to tell my patients to eat the rainbow, making sure you get enough protein in your diet. So, but you have to think, obviously when you resort to a lot of convenience foods, then it's a lot of processed foods, you feel like crap afterwards, and then your skin also reflects that.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed a huge difference in my skin when I eat properly versus when I don't. And I think when we say avoid processed foods and eat the rainbow, all those things, We know that, right? We all understand that. But can you give us like maybe a sample day for someone like you who is very intentional about what they're eating, not only for their health and wellness, but also for their skin? What might like a sample day look like for you? And we should say that everyone's going to be different.
Absolutely. Caloric needs are different. For me, I like this morning before getting on this podcast, I definitely wanted to go ahead and have a breakfast that had enough protein in it, but also had some of my rainbow fruits. So I had some raspberries and blueberries. I had made some oatmeal in a soy-based milk instead of cow milk, so that way I could just get enough protein in there. And then I added some chia seeds, and then I baked it. But prior to baking it, I added a little bit of some cinnamon and some vanilla. And then I baked it for 30 minutes because I hate standing by a stove. So when I bake it, I don't have to do anything. And then voila, I just have like this great breakfast that has protein and it's colorful because I added my blueberries and my raspberries. I also have hydration and gut health from the chia seeds. The soy milk is great for me because I get those phytoestrogens. And then the cinnamon helps with like gut health. So, you know, just being intentional about every ingredient that just helps you overall and keeps you satiated is great.
And then what does a sample lunch or dinner look like for you?
Great. So what's waiting for me right now would be some cauliflower. So having some cruciferous vegetables with a little bit of some spinach and salmon. And then dinner is relatively the same thing. Do I have cheat days? Yes. Yesterday I was in the ER till 9 p.m. with my son. So I had three slices of pizza when I got home. So, you know, like it's just, but I try to balance it. I think that's what you have to remember. Like if you've been, I always say Monday through Friday, I try to be as clean as possible. On the weekends I cheat. Sometimes I cheat during the week as well. But, you know, listen, we're human. Just try your best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes I forget to give that disclaimer because we're always talking from an educational viewpoint of like what's ideal in an ideal world. But all of us, as you said, quote unquote, no one's perfect. And we live all very hectic and stressful lives at times. So something's got to give sometimes. And as long as you're prioritizing it, it doesn't have to be every meal, every single day, as long as it's something that you're regularly thinking about and prioritizing in your life.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Some of your favorite like skin-friendly snacks to reach for?
Absolutely. So I always have nuts available. So I'm a cashew girl. Sometimes I'll dive into, my husband loves almonds, so I'll get some almonds there. Again, berries are my favorite, so I always have that. But I love clementines because they're just so easy to just like snack on really quickly. So it's mostly just toggling between nuts and fruits. Everyone has to remember that fruits are sugar. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always try to balance the two together by having the nut and the fruits together. And then lastly, my favorite that I love are pumpkin seeds. So I do like these unsalted roasted pumpkin seeds because pumpkin seeds are great for your hair and also for your scalp health. So those are what I use. That's like an everyday for me.
Ooh, I have pumpkin seeds every day in this like protein, I call it a dessert, but it's really just plain Greek yogurt with strawberries and pumpkin seeds and these like keto chocolate chips that are sweetened with monk fruit. I would love to hear a little bit more about the pumpkin seeds and the scalp health.
Yeah, so there are certain, you know, everyone always says, like, if you look on social media, this helps with scalp health, that helps with scalp health, but not everything helps with scalp health. But pumpkin oil definitely helps with moisturization and can help with scalp health. And then also rosemary mm-hmm. seed oil can definitely help with scalp health. So those are the two off the top of my head that I could think of that help. But I love pumpkin seeds because not only are you helping with the moisturization and your scalp, but it also helps with gut health. And it's a great, like that crunch is also very satiating. And it can, you know, it goes well with trail mixes, goes well with like your yogurt, like your parfaits, oatmeal. You could actually like, kind of throw it into like anything, which is what I like. It's just so such a versatile seed.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, these are all such great tips. I'm glad that you're able to lay out some examples for us because I think a lot of times when the audience hears these recommendations, as I mentioned, like it all sounds great and dandy, but like what do I buy at the grocery store? What do I actually eat? So thank you for laying that out for us. And I want to touch a little bit too on the best way to approach exercise for our skin because, you know, there's a lot of debate on cardio versus weights versus just regular resistance training like a Pilates. And we, you know, there was a study that came out recently that did mention weight training is helpful for our skin health, especially for anti-aging purposes. So I would love to hear how you approach that for yourself and for your patients.
Yeah, for my patients and for just myself, I just always do a variety. One, you just don't want to do one thing. It gets boring after a while. So, you know, I definitely recommend, like today, for instance, I did like upper body. So tomorrow I'll do a little cardio workout. Maybe I'll spin tomorrow. Then the next day I'll do a lower body. But it is important to do to do resistance training, not just for bone health, but for muscle mass. And then also it helps with like insulin resistance as well. But, you know, walking is a fantastic cardio workout, and it also helps with mental health. So exercising just decreases stress levels. It helps you become leaner. And I think it's just a great way. It's just very therapeutic. So that's why I love doing it. And if you can create a space in your home, you know, it's also free. You don't have to go to a gym. But it's nice going to a gym because you connect with others when you're at the gym. But I just recommend if everyone could take at least 3 to 4 times a week, just 30 minutes. Even if it's 20 minutes, I'll take that. It just helps you with your overall health.
This episode is brought to you by, well, me. Skinthusiast.com is your one-stop shop for all things skin, hair, and beauty. I have countless blog posts to educate you on all the skin concerns and most common skin questions I receive. We also have a complete skincare basics guide on our shop page, as well as the cutest In My Skin Era crewnecks. If you want to support the show, please head over to skinthusiast.com/shop. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah, and I love that we're talking about this in the context of skin too, because I think sometimes different things are motivating for different people, right? So for some of us, our general health is the most motivating, but for some of us, which is fine, you know, our skin health and our hair health is the most motivating thing. So whatever motivates you to get it done, you know, it's going to help so many areas of your life, and it's so, so, so important, especially your mental well-being. I think that's really, really key.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I also think what's key is that, you know, if we think of our parents' generation, exercise wasn't at the forefront. And now, and in our generation, we're constantly hearing that. And we don't want to be that older individual, that mature individual who's just kind of stuck and just, you know, can't move. So if you get into this practice now of constantly moving, it just helps you when you do mature, just to have that whole hip mobility, that movement, you'll just be conditioned for that.
Yeah, I had this conversation actually over the holidays with my uncle, who's very big into fitness and wellness. And we were talking about, you know, as we get older, events are going to happen, whether they be mentally taxing for us or physically taxing for us. And the better shape you're in, both mentally and physically, before that happens, the better prepared you are to come out on the other side of those things. You know, I think it's so important that we have a good foundation now so that we're better able to navigate all those things that are undoubtedly going to happen as we age. And the more that you can do that, you really set yourself up for success, and you're going to be able to recover from those things a lot better than someone who at baseline doesn't have those practices in place.
I completely agree. And, you know, that even goes for like procedures, right? When you do procedures, we always say, if you were to do it when you're a little bit younger, because you're going to heal a lot faster. But even if you decide to get that facelift at the age of 70, as long as you've been active all your life, you're eating well, guess what? You're going to heal better than the person who's at the same age, who has been sitting idle, who's been an alcoholic, and who's been eating a lot of processed foods. So...
Yeah, and I'm sure you see that too in your patients who come in for other, you know, less invasive procedures. I see it all the time. There's a stark difference in the patient who takes care of themselves versus the one who doesn't eat properly, doesn't exercise, is binge drinking, all of those things. You can see it from the moment they step in your office, and you can see it in the way that they heal from procedures as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we forgot even about smoking. You know, like that is like the worst. And sometimes a lot of patients come in and they want to have their Botox done. They want to have their laser procedures done. When they actually smoke, it slows down their improvement. You don't see the improvement that well. And so I just feel that smoking, alcohol just leads to a lot of inflammation. And you sometimes wonder, why are you getting this procedure if you're going to continue to smoke and drink excessively? Because you could have socially drink and not drink, you know, not too much. But when you're an excessive drinker, it's just bad for you.
Yeah, it reminds me, I liken it to when we're talking about anti-aging skincare and retinoids and all that, vitamin C, why are you even spending your money on it if you're not wearing your sunscreen? It's the same idea, right?
Yeah.
Why are you wasting your money on these procedures if you're not taking care of your health from the inside out with these major, major issues that we know really contribute to skin aging?
For sure. Totally agree.
I love that. So do you have any tips? So let's say someone is listening and they're really struggling with their acne and they see their dermatologist and they have the topical regimen in place, but maybe their dermatologist hasn't given them much education on what they can do at home with their diet, with exercise, all of those things. Any red flags, anything you should tell them to avoid with acne, or maybe things to start contributing to their diet or their lifestyle habits?
When it comes to acne, there are, number one, I always tell patients, try not to pick, because that's number one. Patients are just, they tend to pick at their acne. And when you pick, you just get more scarring. Number two, when it comes to acne, is patience. Acne does not resolve in a week. It doesn't resolve in a month. It actually takes about a good 3 to 6 months when you're on a really good regimen in order to see that improvement. And you really need the guidance of either an esthetician or going with a dermatologist just to make sure you stay on track. Because there's so much noise nowadays, and it's hard to just stay focused on the journey. Case in point, I have a patient who aspires to be an esthetician. I just happened to see her yesterday. And she's one of those types who, prior to seeing me, her mom says she has Sephora at home. And I told her, you know, you really only need 3 products. You just need a cleanser, a moisturizer, and sunscreen. And she just kind of looked at me initially at our baseline visit and like kind of rolled her eyes. 2 months in, I was like, wow, your skin looks great. She's like, Dr. B, I used to have 100 products. I only have 3 now that I use. And I'm even telling my friends, you only need 3 products. And they're looking at me like, you're crazy. So it just shows that when you have that education and you're patient, you will get to that finish line. But it just takes time. And the last thing I want to leave everybody with is, after you get to that finish line, you have to maintain what you've achieved. There's so many individuals who are like, oh, my skin's clear, I don't need to do anything now. And then they go close back to their baseline and they get rarely discouraged. So after you get to your finish line, you may not have to use your medication every single day, but as long as you use it 2 to 3 times a week to maintain what you've achieved, you're in good shape. And the analogy I make is like, when you go to the gym and you get your 6-pack, you don't stop going to the gym. Mm-hmm. You now just maybe go 2x a week just to maintain it, or maybe you go 3 times a week, but you never want to stop going to the gym because then you're just going to become loose again.
Yeah, I love that. I love that example. And for your acne patients that come in the door, are there any, what questions are you asking them as far as like diet, supplements, any red flags, any maybe supplements you recommend or maybe supplements you don't want them taking? What's the larger picture look like for that consult?
Absolutely. So when we bring in the lifestyle aspect into it, we always ask about, hey, what, like, are you taking whey? Because we know that whey protein can aggravate acne. We talk about, what are you having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? We just go through that. And then we kind of streamline their menus a little bit more and try to incorporate more of the rainbow foods into their diet. We talk about supplements. Now, supplements, there's not a whole lot of studies that have shown that zinc and probiotics and DIM help with acne, but you can incorporate a supplement into the routine, but don't rely on the supplement to fix your acne.
There's a lot of rhetoric online about things like soy, eggs, potentially maca hurting acne or contributing to acne. Do you have any experience with any of that? Is that something that you look for in your patients, or is that something that's overhyped on social media?
I definitely think it's overhyped on social media. We have no clinical studies that suggest that soy or maca cause any acne. If anything, they are beneficial to your gut health, but there is no correlation that says if you eat X amount of soy, X amount of maca, that it's going to give you acne. So I always say everything in balance, everything in moderation is my go-to, but there are no clinical studies that show that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so any other that you can think of, any other common acne myths while we're on the topic that you think people need to be aware of, especially in the social media world?
Common acne myths. You know, it's so funny. I hear so much all the time and I'm just like, of course, drawing a blank, but...
Yes, do.
You know, sometimes, when you put ice on your skin, your acne is going to go away. So ice helps with inflammation, but it's not going to make your acne go away for good. I think when it comes to acne, it's a marathon. It's hard. It's annoying. And it psychologically, it just frustrates a lot of people. And they always feel that if I do like one procedure, like one laser procedure or one chemical peel, it's going to get rid of my acne. Nothing once gets rid of acne. Remember, acne is a chronic condition. So it's something that you have to, if you're going to do a procedure, you have to constantly do that procedure over time in order to see that improvement.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, are there any devices you employ in your office for your acne patients, or are you mostly focused on the regimen and lifestyle changes?
We do definitely, in addition to talking about the lifestyle changes, we definitely focus on like blue light and red light therapy to help with acne. That's definitely helpful. I love doing salicylic acid peels because that helps with oil control. And then we do have some lasers in the practice that can help with inflammatory lesions. So it just depends on how the individual presents. And then we customize it for that person.
Yeah, that's a really great point that you just brought up too. There are many different types of acne, so that evaluation is really important. We know that there are general factors that are present in all acne lesions, but there's a great degree of personalization when it comes to an acne regimen and recommendations. So that's a really great point. And also a reason it's not so easy to treat your own acne from home based on what you see on social media, because there's so much variation. So it's really good to get in front of the eyes of an expert who can help you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit because you have a very interesting background working with celebrity skincare lines. And I would love to hear a little bit about your experience working on these lines. I think it's really refreshing that it almost seems to be the mainstay now that celebrities are employing dermatologists when they're creating a line, because now we know we're actually getting, you know, some good products, where I think before it was just kind of, there was a lot of fluff in the industry. So I'd love to hear your experience, what lines you've worked on, how you approach these, anything you can tell us about it.
Sure. So I am the dermatology director for A-Frame Brands, and this is a company that provides solutions for melanin-rich skin tones. So I've had the opportunity to work with Naomi Osaka, John Legend, and Gabrielle and Dwayne Wade. And we've made sunscreen for Naomi Osaka, because as she was playing tennis growing up, she didn't realize the importance of wearing sunscreen. So we've created a line that was not only a moisturization line for sunscreen that was based with sunscreen. Because sometimes with sunscreens, they forget about they only think about the filters, and it's not very moisturizing. And those with melanin-rich skin tones, we tend to be on the drier side. So we made sure that we were addressing the two in one. When it comes to the Wades, when they had their daughter Kavya, she had a skin rash when she was a baby, and they were looking for products for her over the counter, and they couldn't find anything for melanin-rich skin tones. So they then went ahead and created Proudly, and so this is a baby line with no sketchy stuff for melanin-rich skin tones. And then lastly, with John Legend, when he created Love One. Again, as I alluded to, melanin-rich skin tones, we tend to be drier. So we just wanted an affordable and accessible line for the melanin-rich. And those can be found on Amazon now, as well as like at CVS. So it's been fun. I've learned a lot over this past several years about ingredients, and then also making sure that all the formulations were safe and effective for everyone. Anyone can use it, but in particular, melanin-rich skin tones.
I love that. Where do you find the time between practicing and being a mom and doing all of this? I mean, what's like a day like for you?
For you? Oh my goodness. It's so funny. It's like a little bit insane. I have blocks. So for instance, in the morning, I just make sure I'm like, I get up early. I get up at around 5 o'clock every morning, sometimes around 4:30. I make sure I work out for 30 minutes. Then I head to the office. I start seeing patients very early in the morning. And then in between patients, I'm like answering emails. I have, you know, an assistant who can help me here and there. But it's just making sure I have blocks of time in order to get things done.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you also wrote a book. Is that right?
I did. I wrote a book during COVID. So during COVID, I had some time. And so that was when I wrote a book. I have not written a book since then. So maybe when I retire, I'll have a little bit more time and I can write the second book.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, it's called Inside Out Beauty, Your Prescription for Healthy, Radiant, Acne-Controlled Skin. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, so this is a short guide. You could read this like in about 2 or 3 hours because every chapter has a little prescription about how to stay healthy. And these are some mantras that I say to myself, and it gives you insight to a little bit about me, but also helps you throughout the day, like what foods to eat, helping you with your mindset. If you have acne, what products you should consider using, hyperpigmentation. So I just wanted something to help my patients out, and I had fun doing the pandemic, and I just thought, hey, why not write a book?
Yeah, why not? You have time on your hands. Why not write a book?
I love writing my book.
I can tell you're just like a go-getter personality for sure. Uh-huh. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so what's next? What's next for you? What's next for your practice? Anything exciting coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, so I am, you know, after working on all these skincare lines, it's interesting that when I started working on skincare lines, I actually worked with one with my sisters. I have two sisters, Abina and Okua. And we started a skincare line back in 2016 called Karité, where we take shea butter from Ghana, which is where we're from, and we mix it with other botanicals. So we have a hand cream, a body cream, as well as a lip balm. Then during the pandemic, I started working with the celebrities. And now I am working on my own skincare line. So I'm hoping to launch that in May or June, this in a couple of months, actually. And yeah. So that's been taking up a lot of my time, but it's been fun just doing like clinical trials and just going through that process on my own has been a journey, a crazy journey, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Can you tell us anything about the brand, what you might offer? Too early to tell.
Too early to tell, but it's all delicious. It's all customized. So there's no private label here. I really went back to the science here and took ingredients that really help your skin because I'm really all about skin health and barrier health. So I'm just excited for everyone to try it and give me their feedback.
Oh, we can't wait to hear more about it. So a couple questions before we wrap up. What is your holy grail skincare product?
Yeah, so holy grail, I would say tretinoin. I don't use it often just because it does cause a lot of irritation for me, but at least once a week or every 2 weeks, I throw my tretinoin on just to get that exfoliation. And then obviously sunscreen all the time, but tretinoin for sure.
Yeah, that's a great one. Tried and true, extremely efficacious. Mm-hmm. I love that. And what is your most underrated skin tip? Okay, next question is, what is your most underrated skin tip?
I think that the most underrated skin tip would be to, let me have a think on that one. You know, okay, an underrated skin tip would definitely be to apply, I have so many. I'm like,
can I give you?
I give you a couple? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Underrated skin tip would be number one, definitely go ahead and apply a moisturizer on your lips before bedtime. I feel like a lot of people don't do that, especially when you're breathing at night. And if you leave your mouth open and your lips get really dry and the air is always dry. So definitely moisturizing at night, your lips are super duper important. Just moisturizing your entire body. I always say try to be shiny before going to bed.
Love that.
And just put a blanket over your bed sheets. And also just moisturizing your hair. So, you know, being African American, you know, sometimes we forget about we moisturize our skin. But we forget about our hair. Like, you know, you should moisturize your hair and also moisturize your scalp, not with oils for your scalp, but, you know, some water-based products. So just moisturize from top to bottom. Don't forget anything.
Are there any product recs you could give us that you love?
It's so interesting. I try to keep things simple. So lately I've been dabbling with glycerin. So glycerin is an excellent humectant. It's used in a lot of products. And so for my scalp, I just use glycerin. I just put several drops in my hand. I add a little bit of water just so, because glycerin tends to be very sticky. And then I just apply that to my scalp to give it a little bit of some hydration there.
Oh, that's a great tip. Mm-hmm. Okay. And very last question. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I would tell myself that, you know, God has a journey for you. You just have to listen and just follow through. You know, everybody's journey is completely different. So try not to compare yourself to others. Stay on path and just trust the process. It's scary, but if you believe in him, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, and sometimes when you surrender, that's when the real magic happens, right? You let everything happen for you. You know?
Absolutely.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. We'll link all your information below, especially since you see patients in multiple states virtually. Mm-hmm. I think that's really helpful because that's a question we get often. Oh, nice. So I'll make sure to leave all of your information below. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was fantastic. A lot of fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know that I learned a thing or two about lifestyle dermatology and some practices that I can implement into my own life. These topics are really of special interest to me because I believe that we can really change the appearance of our skin, not only with a good skincare routine, but also everything else that we're doing in our life, the way we work out, the way we eat, whether or not we're indulging in vices like smoking and alcohol. All of that is really important to look at if you're trying to improve the health and the appearance of your skin, but also just your overall well-being and how you're feeling. So I hope that you gained a lot from today's episode. If you liked it, please rate and review the podcast. It really helps me out and allows us to get to the ears of other skin enthusiasts who will love this information. So thank you so much for joining us, and I'll see you next week, skin enthusiasts.